بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم. This is the news and current affairs channel of Radio Pakistan. You are listening to the program The Perspective. I am Ali Nasir and with me in the studio is
Assalamu alaikum listeners, I am Ehsan Bashir.
Welcome to the show. As you know, the format, we discuss, Ehsan Saab and I, the issues of national and international importance facing Pakistan. And today, of course, we have two very important topics once again. The number one topic, of course, is that the Industrial Revolution and Infrastructural Development hallmark is the hallmark of the PMLN government. This was said by the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Shahid Khaqan Abbasi, as he inaugurated the important section of the CPEC's Burhan Shah Maqsood section of the Hazara Motorway. Of course, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, that CPEC is the game changer. It's been called the fate changer. And it is, of course, in its early harvest program, so we are yet to see what are the broad-ranging elements that it will bring to Pakistani society. But even in its outset, we can see that we are changing as a society due to the networks of roads and motorways and byways, and of course the dealing of the effective dealing of the Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz government in dealing with the energy shortage and overcoming it. And today, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we are far more connected, and inshallah we will continue to be even more connected, and the scourge of load shedding is almost next to none. Compare yourselves with the situation in 2013 and beyond, and today at the last few days of this year we can see clearly that Pakistan is well on its way to progress and prosperity, thanks to CPEC, thanks to the democratically elected government of the day. And the second topic that we have for you is equally important: Pakistan reaching self-sufficiency. Pakistan to attain self-reliance in defense production to compete with world markets. Chief of the Army Staff, General Qamar Javed Bajwa, visited the Pakistan Ordnance Factories in Wah today and inaugurated multiple facilities at PUF Wah. And of course, Pakistan, we've already made the Al Khalid tank and Al Zarar tank and the JF-17 Thunder. So we continue to make sure that our defense capabilities are up to mark, are up to standard. And by the grace of Allah Almighty, Pakistan's defense is next to being impregnable today due to the achievements of our of these ordnance factories under the army that are producing world class defense mechanisms and materials to protect and safeguard the sovereignty of Pakistan. So these are the two basic topics that we have for you. Once we come back from the break, we will ask Ehsan Saab's opinions on both of these.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gawadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, voice of the nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis, and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, and of course we are talking about the Prime Minister who inaugurated the important section of the CPEC Burhan Shah Maqsood section of the Hazara Motorway today. And to discuss the CPEC project and its moving forward, we have with us Major General Retired Zahir Shah, who is a CPEC expert. Assalamu alaikum, sir, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. It's a great pleasure to join you.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. Sir, the Prime Minister has gone and inaugurated the important section of the Burhan Shah Maqsood Hazara motorway. Sir, this is just the early harvest of CPEC, and we're already seeing the positive results. I mean, we're moving on from 22 hours of load shedding to perhaps maybe 1 or 2 hours of load shedding. We're seeing the expansion of the networks of motorways and byways, and of course the build-up of the Gwadar Port. Sir, what else is there to come, and how much more, inshallah, will Pakistan stand to gain from CPEC?
I think CPEC is, as overall, you know, it's a long-term plan of development. And with this, you see basic, you know, the infrastructure is being developed, which is essential for, you know, human and social and economic development. If we look at the point of view of, you know, the present progress which is there, I think credit goes to the government that they have invested in energy sector, which was very critical that, you know, we should reduce the load shedding and have sufficient energy and more affordable energy. And great progress has been made in that regard. As far as the infrastructure is concerned, there is big investment in the transport infrastructure. And if we look at, you know, the Hazara, which is basically from Burhan to Havelia, Haidar Motorway, it is a great step. A segment of that has been inaugurated by Honorable Prime Minister. And then it is in line, if we go up, it is from Havelia to Tharkot, which is already under construction, a CPEC, you know, project, which is a part of Karakoram Highway. So I think we have to know that, you know, we have to open up the country. We have to really, you know, have a strong transport infrastructure which would enable us to go towards that realization of economic growth and prosperity, where we will be able to move our goods more easily as people. And, you know, this will basically north, south, and east has also linkages. CPEC is going to provide, and we have to even look beyond that. You know, I think we should start our diplomatic maneuvers that, you know, now there was that we want to have a positive development and extension of that, as it was stated today in the press, towards Afghanistan, Iran, and eastward also ultimately. I think CPEC provides us that opportunity of regional connectivity, and if we can work harder and smarter and to enable this, and get it realized in about 10 years' time, so our future is going to be much more secure, prosperous, and it will be more peaceful and stable Pakistan. So what I'm saying that the efforts which are being done in the transport infrastructure sector, energy sector, and to boost trade and commerce, development of Gwadar, so all these things are going to lead to a, you know, very stable country, where there will be more jobs
created. Sir, I'll have to cut you short over here. Sir, I'm with due apology. We have to go to a live transmission right now. With due apology, thank you so much for joining Radio Pakistan, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Right, we'll take you live to the press conference of the Minister for Religious Affairs, who's announcing the Hajj Policy 2018.
Rawaid ko barqarar rakhte huye, is saal bhi kisi ko muft Hajj nahi karwaya jayega. कोई भी शख्स जिसने जिंदगी में सिर्फ एक बार भी सरकारी स्कीम के तहत हज अदा किया हो वो हज 2018 के लिए सरकारी स्कीम में दरख्वास्त देने का एल नहीं होगा. इसके अलावा कोई भी शख्स जिसने गुज़िश्ता 3 सालों में हज अदा किया हो वो हज 2018 के लिए प्राइवेट स्कीम में दरख्वास्त देने का एल तसव्वुर नहीं होगा. इस ज़मान में सिर्फ खातून کہ محرم کو استثناء حاصل ہوگا. محرم کے لیے یہ شرط نہیں. سفر حج کے لیے کسی بھی عمر کی خاتون کے ساتھ محرم کا ساتھ ہونا لازم ہوگا. تاہم سعودی تعلیمات کی روشنی میں فقہ جعفریہ کی حاجن جس کی عمر 45 سال سے زائد ہو وہ محرم کی لازمی شرط سے مستثناء ہوگی. حج بدل کی اجازت صرف پرائیویٹ سکرین کے ذریعے ہوگی. تمام حجاب کو ان کی وطن واپسی پر مخصوص پیکنگ میں 5 لیٹر زمزم پاکستان میں ایئرپورٹ پر مہیا کیا جائے گا. حجاج کا محافظ سکیم تکافل کی بنیاد پر وضع کی گئی ہے. حج پالیسی 2018 میں بھی جاری رہے گی. بین الاقوامی مشین ریڈیبل پاسپورٹ، کمپیوٹرائز قومی شناختی کارڈ اور میڈیکل سرٹیفکیٹ لازم ہوگا. مشین ریڈیبل پاسپورٹ کی کم از کم میعاد 20 فروری 2019 تک ہے. 20 فروری 2019 تک مکہ مکرمہ میں گزشتہ چار سالوں کے کامیاب تجربے کی روشنی میں اس سال بھی حج حجاج کرام کو عزیزیہ بتا قریش میں ہی ٹھہرایا جائے گا اور حجاج کرام کو ان کی رہائش سے حرم پاک اور واپس ان کی رہائش گاہ پر چھوڑنے کے لیے 24 گھنٹے ٹرانسپورٹ کی سہولت مہیا کی جائے گی۔ حج 2018 میں سرکاری حج سکیم کے 100% حجاج کرام کو مدینہ منورہ میں مرکزیہ مسجد نبوی کے 500 میٹر کے دائرے کے اندر میں ٹھہرانے کی بھرپور کوشش کی جائے گی۔ سرکاری حج سکیم کے حجاج کرام کو مشترکہ قیامت و عام کی سہولتیں سعودی قوانین اور رہائشی اجازت ناموں کے مطابق مہیا کی جائیں گی۔ وزارت کی یہ کوشش ہے کہ حجاج کی سہولت کو مد نظر رکھتے ہوئے اس سال بھی جدہ سے مکہ کے لیے نئے ماڈل کی بسیں فراہم کی جائیں گی۔ اس کے علاوہ پچھلے سال کی طرح مکہ سے مدینہ اور واپسی کے لیے بھی حجاج کرام کو 2018 ماڈل تک کی نئی بسیں فراہم کی جائیں گی۔ منا میں بہتر جگہ پر مکاتب لینے کی بھرپور کوشش کی جائے گی۔ مشاعر میں زیادہ سے زیادہ حجاج کرام کو ٹرین کی سہولت مہیا کی جائے گی۔ سرکاری سکیم کے کوٹے کی 2% سیٹوں کو پالیسی کے مطابق ہارڈ شپ کی بنیاد پر پر کیا جائے گا، جس میں سے سماجی ذمہ داری کے تحت 500 سیٹوں پر کم آمدنی والے ورکرز مزدور جن کے ادارے ورکرز ویلفیئر فنڈ اور ای او بی آئی کے ساتھ رجسٹر ہوں گے، ان کو پالیسی کے مطابق منتخب کیا جائے گا۔ عازمین حج کے لیے ایک جامع آگاہی مہم اور تربیت شروع کی جائے گی۔ نیز ایئر لائن کی مشاورت سے عازمین حج کو دوران پرواز حج دستاویزی پروگرام دکھانے کا انتظام بھی کیا جائے گا۔ کوشش کی جائے گی کہ پاکستانی حجاج کی امیگریشن پاکستان میں ہی کر لی جائے تاکہ سعودی ایئرپورٹس پر حجاج کو انتظار نہ کرنا پڑے۔ سعودی حکومت کی منظوری ملنے پر سرکاری سکیم کے 50% عازمین حج کو پاکستان سے براہ راست مدینہ منورہ پہنچایا جائے گا اور اسی طرح ہی ان کی واپسی بھی ہوگی، اور یوں ان کے پیسوں کے ساتھ ساتھ وقت کی بھی بچت ہوگی۔ تمام عازمین حج کو نامزد ایئر لائنز پی آئی اے، سعودی ایئر لائن، شاہین انٹرنیشنل اور ایئر بلو کے ذریعے حجاز مقدس روانہ کیا جائے گا۔ وزارت مذہبی امور اور ایویشن ڈویژن حج کرایوں میں مزید کمی کے لیے باہمی مشاورت کرے گی۔ سرکاری حج سکیم کے حجاج کو دوران قیام مکہ مکرمہ، مدینہ منورہ اور مشاعر یعنی کہ منا، عرفات میں 3 وقت کا کھانا فراہم کیا جائے گا۔ کھانے کے اخراجات موجودہ حج پیکج سے ہی ادا کیے جائیں گے۔ اس سال کھانے کے مینو کو مزید بہتر کیا جائے گا۔ تمام مرد و خواتین حاضمین حج کے لیے لازم ہے کہ پاکستانی شناخت والے اسٹیکر کو اپنے احرام پر چسپاں کریں تاکہ ان کی پہچان ممکن ہو سکے۔ ہر خاتون عازم حج کے لیے 2 عدد عبایا اپنے امرہ لے کر جانا ضروری ہوگا۔ 2 عدد عبایا حج گروپ آرگنائزر کو حج پالیسی فارمولیشن کمیٹی کی سفارشات کی روشنی میں کوٹا دیا جائے گا۔ یہ کوٹا ایک شفاف انداز میں مختص کیا جائے گا اور اسسمنٹ کمیٹی کی رپورٹ وزارت حاجہ کی ویب سائٹ پر اویزاں کی جائے گی۔ جو افراد پرائیویٹ سکیم کے تحت حج ادا کریں گے ان کے لیے وزارت حج پیکج کا جائزہ لے گی تاکہ حجاج کو کم خرچ میں زیادہ سے زیادہ سہولیات بہم پہنچائی جا سکیں۔ تمام ایچ جی اوز کے لیے ضروری ہے کہ وہ کارکردگی کی گارنٹی کے طور پر اپنے کل پیکج کا 5% پیکج ملٹی پلائی کوٹا، نئی کمپنیوں کے لیے 10% سیکورٹی ڈپازٹ کیش یا بینک گارنٹی کی صورت میں جمع کروائیں۔ جو کہ تسلی بخش کارکردگی کی بنیاد پر واپس کر دیا جائے گا. حجاج کرام کی طرف سے حج 2017 میں دی گئی آراء کے ہین مطابق پاکستان اور سعودی عرب میں دونوں حج سکیموں یعنی سرکاری اور نجی سکیم کے حج آپریشن کی نگرانی کے طریقہ کار کو مضبوط کیا جائے گا. اس سلسلے میں حجاج کی شکایات جو وزیر کال سینٹر، ای میل اور خصوصی نگران ٹیموں کے ذریعے موصول ہوں گی ان کا فوری ازالہ کیا جائے گا. حج 2018 میں حجاج کی زیادہ تعداد کو مدنظر رکھتے ہوئے حجاج کے لیے حج میڈیکل مشن اہلکار، معاونین حجاج کے اہلکار، وزارت کے سیزنل سٹاف اور پاکستانی لوکل معاونین پر مشتمل عملے کو ضرورت کی بنیاد پر تعین کیا جائے گا. ہنگامی حالات سے نمٹنے کے لیے وزارت ایمرجنسی پلان ترتیب دے رہی ہے. اس کے علاوہ وزارت حجاج کرام اور فلاحی عملے کے لیے قبل از حج ہنگامی حالات سے نمٹنے کے لیے خصوصی تربیت کا جائزہ لے رہی ہے. مزید معلومات کے لیے وزارت کی ویب سائٹ www.hajinformation.organization یا www.mora.government.pk یا فیس بک پیج پر یا حج انکوائری نمبر یہ نیچے دیا ہوا ہے پر رابطہ کیا جا سکتا ہے. یہ اس کے یہ دوبارہ جو فگر شاید آپ نے لکھ بھی لیا ہوں گے میرا خیال میں اس کی ضرورت نہیں ہے جو میں نے بتا دیا اگر کسی نے پوچھنا تو الحمدللہ کہ یہ
جی مشوانی صاحب
جی جی
یہ بتائیں جاہل مشوانی
آپ نے اپنے دور حکومت کی کارکردگی لیکن آپ نے اس بات کا ذکر نہیں کیا کہ گزشتہ سال آپ کی غیر موجودگی میں پرائیویٹ ٹور آپریٹر کا کوٹا جو ہائی چیک کیا گیا اور بتایا گیا کہ اس میں بڑے پیمانے پر کرپشن بھی ہوئے اس کا ذکر آپ نے نہیں کیا کہ اس حوالے سے جو ہے وہ کون سی چیزیں ہیں ان کے پیچھے کیا معاملے تھے اور کیا ہوا اور آئندہ اس حوالے سے اگر
دیکھو جی گزشتہ سال بھی جو کوٹا جن کمپنیوں کو دیا وہ بھی پالیسی کے مطابق باقاعدہ جو اسسمنٹ ہوئی تھی اس اسسمنٹ کے مطابق جن کے میرٹ جو بنا تھا اس کے مطابق ان کو کوٹا الاٹ ہوا اور تقریباً 29 کمپنیاں تھیں گزشتہ سال جن کو کوٹا الاٹ کیا گیا تھا. اگر اس میں کوئی ایسی چیز تھی یا ہے بالکل وہ ہمیں بتاتے. اس طرح کی کوئی اس طرح کی مطلب شکایت نہیں آئی اور چونکہ اس وقت جو فیصلہ ہوا سپریم کورٹ کی ہدایت کے مطابق ہائی فارمولیشن کمیٹی نے یہ فیصلہ کیا اور انہوں نے یہ پروپوزل دی کہ 2% کوٹا جو سابقہ اس پرائیویٹ کوٹے سے کاٹ کر ان کو بھی اکاموڈیٹ کیا جائے تو جو ایک پہلے سے جو اسسمنٹ ہوئی تھی اس کے مطابق ان کو دیا گیا کوئی اس طرح کی بات نہیں تھی.
جی آجی نواز صاحب
جی جی آج سر
سردار صاحب پچھلے سال شکایات پیدا ہوئی ہیں اور آپ کو مل میں اس بات کا ایک تو آپ نے سرکاری جو ٹرانسپورٹ ہے وہاں اس کے بجائے آپ نے پرائیویٹ کمپنی کے ساتھ معاہدہ کیا وہ کمٹمنٹ انہوں نے پوری نہیں کی اور کئی لوگوں کو شہر کے دوران گاڑیاں نہیں ملی. دوسری بات یہ ہے کہ یہ جو آپ حج کے لیے جو امارات لے رہے ہیں
جی
کیا یہ پرماننٹ آپ نے طے کر لیا کہ زندہ نہیں لیں گے میں اور کوئی جگہ نہیں چھوڑ کر تھی کیا آپ خرید کری جگہ تھی ملا بسم اللہ اب اس میں جو امارات کچھ موجود ہیں یعنی کہ بڑی تعداد میں تو نہیں ہے لیکن تھوڑی تعداد میں ہے کیا ایک اور اب تو بیا رہی ہے پرمٹ آپ کی لیکن ایک آپ نے وہ اسکیم جو ہے کہ ہمارا پینڈنگ تھا ایک بہت بڑا پروجیکٹ جو حج کمپلیکس بنانا تھا وہ آپ اس کو نامکمل چھوڑ کر چلے جا رہے ہیں. اسی طرح ایک تیسرا حج حاجی آپ نے بلڈنگ دے دی تھی مدینہ منورہ میں جس کے پیسے پڑے ہوئے ہیں اس کے بارے میں بھی کوئی فیصلہ نہیں کر سکے آپ پانچ سال.
اچھا پہلی بات پہلا جو کوشچن آپ کا تھا کہ کیا
کھانے میں بھی شکایت
ٹرانسپورٹ کا ہاں پہلی بات تو یہ ہے کہ جو ٹرانسپورٹ جو ہماری ذمہ داری تھی ہماری وزارت کی ذمہ داری تھی الحمدللہ اس میں کوئی کمی بیشی نہیں آئی. مشاعر میں اس کی شکایت ہوئی ہے اور وہ وہاں پر مسلسل جنوب ایشیا کی ذمہ داری بنتی ہے، ان کو ہم نے پیمنٹ کی تھی، اور ان سے پھر ہم نے پوچھا بھی کہ ان حاجیوں کو جن کو ٹرین کے ٹکٹ نہیں ملے تھے اس کے لیے جو بسوں کا انتظام کرنا تھا آپ نے نہیں کیا، اسی وجہ سے پھر ہم نے جن لوگوں کو ٹرین کے ٹکٹ نہیں ملے تھے جن حاجیوں کو، تو ان کے 250 ریال کے حساب سے انہیں رقم واپس آنے سے پہلے ادا کر دی۔ کیا آپ کو یعنی یہ تکلیف ہوئی جس کی وجہ سے ان کی رقم بھی واپس کر دی؟ دوسری بات، بطہ قریش یا عزیزیہ میں چونکہ وہاں اچھے قسم کی بلڈنگیں ہیں، نئی بلڈنگیں بنی ہوئی ہیں، اور پھر ٹرانسپورٹ کے لیے بھی آسانی ہے، ان چیزوں کو مد نظر رکھتے ہوئے رہائش لی گئی۔ جہاں مسولہ کی آپ نے بات کی ہے، مسولہ میں تو حج کے دوران اتنی رش ہوتی ہے کہ ٹرانسپورٹ بھی آگے تو جا ہی نہیں۔ ایک دوسری، وہاں نئی بلڈنگیں جو بنی ہیں مسولہ کی جو آپ بات کر رہے ہیں، تو وہ بلڈنگ بہت زیادہ مہنگی ہیں، آپ یعنی اتنی مہنگی ہیں کہ اس کیٹیگری میں یعنی وہاں پر مشکل ہے کہ یعنی حجیوں کو ہم ٹھہرایا جا سکے۔ تو ایک تو وہاں جو پرانی ہے تو ان کی حالت اچھی نہیں ہے، جو پرانی بلڈنگیں مسولہ میں ان کی وہاں جو لفٹ ہیں وہ بھی اچھی نہیں ہے، پانی کا بھی صحیح انتظام، باتھ روم، چونکہ مجھے پتا ہے میں واقف بھی ہوں، تو ان کی حالت بالکل اچھی نہیں ہے، اس لیے ہم نے وہ نہیں لی۔ یہاں پر چونکہ ہم نے ایک کیٹیگری رکھی ہے، اور اس کے لیے لوکیشن بھی ہم ایک ہی رکھنا چاہتے ہیں کہ تمام حاجی جہاں ان کے تمام تر سہولیات کا خیال رکھا جائے، ڈسپنسری ہے یا ہاسپٹل ہے یا اس کے لیے یعنی کھانے کا انتظام اچھے طریقے سے ہو سکے، تو یہ جگہ موزون ترین یعنی مناسب سمجھی گئی، اس لیے ہم نے لی۔ اب تو ایک کمپٹیشن ایسی بن گئی ہے کہ جو دوسرے لوگ خاص طور پر انڈیا ہمیں وہ کر رہا ہے، کاپی کر رہا ہے، اور انڈیا کے وہ کمپٹیشن میں آ رہا ہے، عزیزیہ میں کوشش کر رہا ہے، بطہ قریش میں کوشش کر رہا ہے۔ الحمدللہ بڑی اچھی ریاستیں تھیں اس وجہ سے۔
Yes, you were listening to the press conference of the Minister for Religious Affairs, Sardar Muhammad Yusuf. He has just announced the Hajj policy 2018, and of course was taking question and answers, a very candid question and answers on the performance of the government during last year's or this year's Hajj. In fact, he was very candid, and by his estimates, the quota given to Pakistan for 2018 for Hajj is 179,000 Hajis who will be, inshallah, traveling to Saudi Arabia next year to perform this pilgrimage. Of course, this is one of the pillars of our articles of our faith as well. Now, moving back to our topic very quickly, we have 10 minutes to round this up. Ehsan Sahab, I was asking you, and of course, we were also asking the General Retired Zahir Shah, the CPEC expert, that this is but the early harvest of CPEC, and we've already seen the different aspects of it come to light. We've seen the dealing of the energy crisis, and now of course we're seeing the network of motorways and highways and byways that are being part and parcel of it. So how do you see this as this element of it, which is the connectivity element of it, paving Pakistan forward in the region in the years to come?
Ali, three things are very important in maturing of any project. First is that the energy should be sufficiently available so that the investors can come in and invest and put on the factories, and the production can go on. For that, the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor substantially had this point in view, and that is the reason that we see a lot of work which has been done on the production of energy. Not only production of energy, but at a cheaper energy is also produced by getting rid of load shedding and all these kind of things. So that is one thing. The other is obviously road rail network, which is and the sea maritime network also, which gets matured for the development of such like project as big as China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. Obviously, since a lot of traffic is going to go on, so it can't be only limited to only one kind of traveling mode as well. That is like you can't only have the roads, you can't only have rail, and you can't only have air, and you can't only have maritime. You have to have a combination of all these networks so that the goods which needs to be transported from Khunjrab, from Pakistan side to Gwadar, is smoothly, transported. So that is the reason that we see a lot of development going on in the railway sector also, by which the railway lines are also being put on this track going on. The road is getting improved. You may not be knowing, but very recently a lot of work is going on, or even on the air lifting of the things
cargo.
And the goods, also cargo is also going on, for which small landing strips would be built up all along this route, and it will go up till Gwadar. And then from Gwadar onwards, there is then again a maritime sea route, which is also, going on, which is going to link the Central Asia and then onward entering into the Far East and Europe and all that. So all these connectivity things which you have talked are absolutely very, very important, and the country and along with the Chinese is moving swiftly on to that, because in year 2020, it has to be totally and fully operational, not only operational, but would be at its peak. It is already commissioned, but then we don't see that kind of flow of traffic or that flow of goods from China to Gwadar and then onward to that. So that classic trading is yet to begin, because the road network, which is the basic and the first and the foremost, is getting developed. So, and in that, this particular, section of this Hazara motorway, which is from Burhan to Shah Maksud section, is being inaugurated. This is, another milestone which the government also has achieved, with the Pakistani nation has achieved, that we are working and we are going to have such a huge connectivity, from one end of almost Pakistan, if we are moving from north to south, it's completely traveling right from the center of Pakistan, from north to south, this entire connectivity. Yeah, and that is very, very important. All along this route, then obviously you need so much other things to be developed, like the special economic zones, which are already developing side by side. There are 7 special economic zones which are developed all along this route. And they are going to, and then special economic zone, it's in itself has got so many things in it. Like it would have the parking place, it would have the overnight stay places, like it would have wonderful hotels, it will have, a lot of economic activity, eating place, repair areas, workshops, refilling areas. So I think all these things are going to once get, commissioned, and this wheel will start moving, I think Pakistan is going to benefit a lot out of it, obviously, just because of the visualization which you have, that just imagine that it is expected to have about 7,000 trailers, moving in one day from Khunjrab to Gwadar. And this is not going to stop. It is going to be continuously, that in a day, if I'm saying, that means this traffic is moving on this road in 12 hours. And then regularly it is going uninterrupted. It is going to go through this. So just imagine how much traffic is going to be on these on this road, and along with this traffic, obviously the other things which I have mentioned are also very important. They will have energy, cheaper energy to look after themselves and to stay in that. So these two is important, and government is very relevantly pushing forward for having a commissioning of this China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. To begin with is this road link, and then also moving swiftly on to the rail and air and also the maritime through the sea.
Right. I think for all the listeners who wanted to know a roundup on what CPEC in the early harvest means, I think Essen Saab has just made sure that you know all the basics in the from maritime, railways, motorways, airstrips, industrial zones, the building up of Gwadar as the major artery of Pakistan and a connectivity hub, and of course economic zones. And I think what's really important what Ehsan Saab said was how one can visualize 7,000 trailers going every single day in one direction and then God knows how many trailers going in the other direction and on a daily basis. So what that would mean for the economy of Pakistan, what it would mean for the development of Pakistan. So we all wish and pray that the Prime Minister, of course, has gone and inaugurated this important section of CPEC, the Burhan Shah Maqsood section. He said that the government will succeed in the next general elections on the basis of its performance. He said the decision of the next government will be made through vote. He said PMLN government will continue its efforts for solution of the problems faced by the common man. Prime Minister said the motorway project will bring development revolution in the region. He said that this project was started by the PMLN and is being completed by it. He said 34 billion rupees are being spent on this project. In the end, he also said that in the past we were importing 100,000 tons of urea and now we are exporting 600,000 tons. The Prime Minister said that sit-ins and strikes caused huge loss to the development and progress of the country. Last not least, he said that the major challenges facing the country have been resolved. He said 11,000 megawatts of power projects have been completed and 10,000 megawatts projects are in the pipeline. He said, similarly, we are self-sufficient in the gas sector. So on this note, we will take a short break and once we come back, we'll have Ehsan Saab giving us his views on the second topic of the evening. Yes, welcome back, and now we're moving on to the second topic of the evening, which is that Pakistan is to attain self-reliance in defense production to compete with world markets. The Chief of the Army Staff has inaugurated multiple facilities at the Pakistan Ordnance Factory in Wathuday. Chief of the Army Staff, General Qamar Javed Bajwa visited the Pakistan Ordnance Factory's Wathuday and inaugurated multiple facilities. He inaugurated multiple facilities including the urea formaldehyde molding compound plant, station headquarters building as well as the PF colony Sanjwal, which will benefit more than 11,000 families. The urea formaldehyde molding compound plant is one of the many PF production facilities that will not only cater for the demand in defense field but also towards the civilian industrial demand in the country. And to discuss this in greater detail, we are joined by Brigadier Retired Syed Nazir Saab. Assalamu alaikum, sir, and welcome to the show.
Ji wa alaikum assalam, thank you indeed.
Right, sir, Brigadier Saab, the Chief of the Army Staff has inaugurated multiple facilities at PF Wah. Now, this has been the force from where we've seen Al Khalid, Al Zarar, and so on and so forth. So, do tell our audiences what is the meaning of attaining self sufficiency as far as our defense capabilities are concerned.
Well, as far as the defense production is concerned, so PUFY and Tesla complex are the prime movers in this direction. And naturally, it is with the collaboration of our Chinese friend and whatsoever ammunition and other weapons are being molded, prepared and tested, as well as launched and the production is given to the Pakistan Army, as well as to the Navy and Air Force. Of course, this is the milestone mark of the PUF contribution towards the defense production. Actually, this modernization plan, as well as going ahead with the modern weapon and sophistication, it is an ongoing job and there is no interest. And literally in the international market, especially sophisticated weapons are very costly and then there are strings attached to its of availability. But once you are indigenously capable as well as your production facility is efficient and it can absorb the modern technology and meeting your requirement of the modern times army, so naturally it's the blessing. And that blessing is of course with the skill, expertise and development as well as the engineers and all those people who are involved in the production. So naturally it is always a busy job and a job which is to be performed as far as excellence, because it is a serious job. The precision as well as the performance of the weapon matters in the battlefield. And you can win the battlefield once you have got the prime time and the latest equipment and latest weaponry and ammunition at their disposal. This is one thing. The another thing is that the POS is extending their highway, and more so it is exporting a lot of ammunition and weapons to the foreign countries as well. Besides that, we, compared to India, we are far ahead in the defense production. Because I have read the report of the deputy chief of the Indian Army, who visited various production facilities, and he was so disappointed that he said that we are not even capable in recycling. We are not even capable in absorbing the modern technology. And we are not even capable to meet the requirements of our army. So naturally, once we see on our side of the production, so naturally it is far excellent as far as the international market is concerned. And naturally it is making it headway as well as catching the market, especially of the developing countries. And more so, this production, especially this has got a detailed life, and more so the sophistication takes place day by day. So naturally, you are supposed not to be only developing it, but you are supposed to be expertising, and innovation is also one of the prime concern, rather prime subject, which is addressed in the peer. So naturally, this R&D, research and development, this is an integral part, and it is an ongoing job to get the latest assembly and develop it through the indigenous sources. Therefore, with this, we are serving a lot of foreign exchange, and also the time burst, which is normally in the foreign purchase, that takes time once you get the contract, and then it gets materialized. So once you have got your own production facilities, so it is available right in time, and then if the war times, once there is a quarantine or a blockage or some sort of restrictions are placed, so you have indigenously developed it, and then you cannot be, your work cannot increase with this.
Brigadier sir, my question to you is that what do you think that how many probably years it will take for Pakistan to completely have totally moved on to indigenization and then having a total production of its own which can meet the requirements of the armed forces in that view?
I think Pakistan is a very skilled and very good expertise in the development and the innovation as well as in the R&D, and they are tests and trials, and far excellent facilities are available, and it is being equipped on a regular basis. In the defense production, actually there is no end once you can say that well, we have reached the far excellence. Because the world is developing and they are producing new technologies, new range finders, new sort of missile system, as well as this ballistic qualities and ballistic science that is also being improved upon. And more so with the material, there are various materials which are used in various types of weaponry. So a weapon is efficient once it is equipped. A weapon is efficient if it takes multiple types of ammunition. And a weapon is efficient when one can engage multiple targets. And the weapon is efficient once it is light, easy to operate, and it can overreach and outcast the enemy weapon. So this is an ongoing, you can say, challenge. And this challenge is supposed to be with the research and development and constantly improving on our expertise and weaponry and production. So last many milestones, US and Tesla complex, heavy complex is achieved. But these milestones are more ahead as well, because it is a changing world, and more so India is our adversary, and they are getting the latest equipment from America, because they were having the obsolete equipment of Russian origin, almost 70%. So the 70% has got obsolete. Now they are on the American way, and they are getting those equipment. So naturally we are competing with the developed world, with the American weaponry, with the French weaponry, because they have got a lot of money, lot of dollars, almost $500 billion they are spending on their army and armed forces in the 5 years, and they are purchasing. But of course, our US and Tesla complex or we are far ahead of them as far as the defense production is concerned.
Right, Dr. Saab, thank you so Brigadier Saab, thank you so much for joining Radio Pakistan. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Right, that was Brigadier Syed Nazir, and he's, I think, explained our need for self-sufficiency and indigenization. Essence of, he's also spoken about the high cost of procuring military hardware from you know, from the West and other sources, and how Pakistan has been going on and trying to attain self-sufficiency through the POF, WA, and other such ordnance factories. So how do you see this, sir?
I think you are absolutely right that indigenous production is important from two angles. One is that you have self-sufficiency and you know your requirements and you can meet it, and you don't have to spend that heavy an amount. The second most important thing is that for indigenization, once you move and you're trying to shift onto that, is that you are not dependent on someone else's things. The technology, import of technology, knowing of technology, developing your own technology, as he was saying, through R&D, research and development continuously works in the countries, and Pakistan is no exception to that, that R&D is working. But however, I think we need to do more on that. We need to more work on that and get it mature. Pakistan has, as Pakistan has got things matured already. So I really feel that you know, indigenous production has to be there. It is already there. PFWA and HIT and the rebuild factories in Pakistan are already doing a lot of work. The Air Force Kamra, you know, is also doing a lot of work on these lines. So I think Pakistan has very rightly realized, and the chiefs these remarks that while he has tried to emphasize on the need for technology upgradation and maximum indigenization, I think is very relevant as far as for the time is concerned, that yes, we can't really depend on anyone else from across the world, and this is what it is.
Right, and of course, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you what the Chief of the Army Staff also went on to say. He said the Army Chief was given detailed briefing on performance and growth of the Pakistan Ordnance Factory, research and development projects, future vision and strategy for implementation. While addressing the POF officers and workers, Chief of the Army Staff appreciated their invaluable contributions by making POF the prime defense industry of Pakistan. He emphasized the need for technological upgradation and maximum indigenization to attain total self-reliance in the field of defense production. Kamal Javed Bajwa lauded the contribution of PF over the years towards national economy and stressed the need for improving the business model and the importance of excellence in core business to keep up with contemporary challenges. It's also important to note here, ladies and gentlemen, that Pakistan has also started exporting defense machinery. We've sold our Mashaq jets to Sri Lanka, and some other you know, hardware and software is also under process. But what's really important to note is the comments made by Brigadier Syed Nazir, when he said that India has not even gone close to the levels of self-sufficiency. I'm not trying to compare Pakistan with India, but I'm trying to make you understand that as far as defense capabilities and productions is concerned, we are far ahead of our immediate neighbors, especially India, which touts, you know, spending over $600 billion in trying to arm itself with the latest hardware and software, trying to get American, you know, airplanes and jets and submarines and tanks and all that to equip itself. But however, its own indigenized, you know, its own industry, its indigenized defense industry is nowhere close to Pakistan. And it really goes to show how Pakistan has sort of made sure from the times that it was attacked upon and how it defended itself, that it has gone from strength to strength as far as making sure that we are capable enough by the grace of Allah Almighty to defend ourselves, because these are purely in defense in nature. And I remember every year we also have the IDEAS defense you know, exhibition in different parts of Pakistan and abroad, where we are trying to showcase our capabilities as a nation that is trying to make sure that, you know, in the face of, you know, imports of $600 billion, I'm sure the American industry is far more reliant and is focusing on India. So we also need to arm ourselves to ensure that we are fully protected. That is part and parcel of the kind of work that we have been doing as far as POF is concerned. And of course, we've also seen the development of the tank capabilities of Pakistan, the Al-Khalid and Al-Zarar tanks, of course, built with collaboration of China, as like the JF-17 Thunder. But we've seen that most of the spare parts are being made in Pakistan, most of the servicing is being done in Pakistan, and so on and so forth. So this goes to show that Pakistan is trying to make sure that it is self-reliant in the field of defense production, and we can only pray that, inshallah, one day there may never be a need to spend so much of time on sort of defense and capabilities. We have a time of peace between India and Pakistan, but till that time, unfortunately, when war is and these you know, unforeseen circumstances, when India continues to be belligerent in Kashmir and tries to stifle us on the west and on the east, we will continue to defend ourselves to the best of our abilities, and our men in uniform are ready for any sort of challenge, and they've taken it a step ahead to ensure that we are not only protected, but we also have the capability of producing you know, these capabilities at home in our own backyard, be it the arms and ammunition industry, be it this urea formaldehyde molding compound plants, and many other of these facilities that are making sure that Pakistan industrializes at the pace that it needs to defend itself. So, Ehsan Saab, 1 minute, your closing thoughts on this?
Ali, you have already said a lot on it, and I fully agree with whatever you have said, and very comprehensively you have covered this very important aspect of Pakistan's development on the hardware and the military hardware, and the kind of situation which is prevailing in the Asia at the moment is really gripping us, and it has become the need of the hour that unless we go for indigenization, we need to be having everything of our own. We can't really depend on the other nations, because they may change their, as swiftly the alignments change, so the concepts and the views also change. So Pakistan is a country which is now fast developing, and Pakistan cannot take risks of its sovereignty, and Pakistan wants to maintain peaceful sovereignty with no race in this also. That is again very important. Pakistan is not at all involved in the armament race, and Pakistan doesn't want to do that. The only thing is Pakistan is maintaining its bare minimum military hardware for its own.
Thank you, Ehsan Saab, as always, for your wonderful comments and thoughts. And on that note, I'll just about to close and tell you on a good note that Pakistan under 19 has beaten Australia under 19 by 6 wickets in the first under 19 Youth One International at Melbourne on Wednesday. Batting first, Australia were all out for 241 runs in 45.1 overs. In reply, Pakistan achieved the target for the loss of 4 wickets in 44.2 overs. And in the Ashes, England were 192 for 2 in response to Australia's 327 on close of play on the second test match. And we are only as good as the people who support us. Sound engineer Shahzada Mohammed Abbas, program coordinator Mohammed Ayaz, program in charge Imran Latif, and chief production supervisor Mr. Javed Khan Jadoon. Coming in a perspective, thank you very much. Take care and Allah Hafiz.